This is episode 143 of Social Entrepreneur with Kathy Koo and John Kai of Spouts of Water.
He was one of the resident tutors there, and he just said, "Kathy, just go for it." And I said, "What are you talking about?" Like, and he's just like, "Well, if you're not going to stop talking about it, you should go for it."
Welcome to the Social Entrepreneur Podcast. My name is Tony Lloyd. I'm a former business executive with Fortune 500 companies. Today, I spend my time with changemakers who are making an impact in the world. Each week, we bring you exciting stories from the world of social entrepreneurs, benefit corporations, and impact investing. Thanks for being with me today. Let's get started. Hi, and welcome to episode 143 of Social Entrepreneur with Kathy Koo and John Kai of Spouts of Water. So in 2010, Kathy Koo spent some time in Uganda where she experienced firsthand the problems with the lack of access to clean, safe drinking water. And about 30% of the population in Uganda, about 10 million people, do not have access to safe, clean drinking water. Now, Kathy had seen this before. She worked with Engineers Without Borders. And so she went home. She was in Harvard University at the time. So she went home and she enrolled others. And how did she do that? As she said in that little bit you heard right at the beginning, she would not stop talking about this. And finally, one of her resident tutors advised her, look, if you're not going to stop talking about this, you should just go for it. Now, in the meantime, Kathy and a team put together a business plan and some design documents, and John Kai ran across these documents and he was immediately smitten. He knew that he had to be part of this team. And so the two of them, they began to contact NGOs in Uganda, and they tried to convince NGOs in Uganda to manufacture these ceramic water filters, but the NGOs weren't really interested. And so eventually it came to them that they had to go to Uganda and do this themselves. So they put together this company, Spouts of Water. And that's what they're doing today. They're in Uganda. They manufacture these ceramic water filters. And the filters only cost about $20 US, and they last for 2 years. So today they reach about 60,000 Ugandans with their filters. But their goal for Spouts of Water is to provide safe drinking water to 5 million Ugandans by the year 2025. So here they are, Kathy Koo and John Kai of Spouts of Water.
So the ceramic water filters are actually quite simple. They're a 20-liter reservoir with more or less a flower pot that sits on top of it. And the flower pot has pores that allows the water to go through, but not the bacteria. The filter also has a silver nitrate coating that acts as a biocide against any residual bacteria that might be left behind as well.
And a biocide kills any living organisms that might be in the water then, right?
Exactly. And the silver nitrate acts as a last kind of resort, last measure. But our filters are tested regularly beforehand to make sure that it removes 99% of bacteria before it gets to the silver nitrate.
How in the heck did you end up in Uganda working, building a factory and working with water filtration?
When I met Kathy for the first time at Harvard back in my undergraduate years, you know, I felt like I found something that I could be really passionate about without any doubt. So the beginning of Spouts goes back to 2011 at Harvard in Boston, when Kathy came back from Uganda after a summer of running an education program. And given Kathy's background in, you know, engineering and involvement with Engineers Without Borders, she realized that some of the water filtration technology she came across as a member of Engineers Without Borders could be really used in the country to improve the access to clean drinking water. And Kathy came back with the idea and was looking for members to join in. And I thought, man, this is such a great idea. And, you know, this is a project that I can actually get my hands dirty and go out to the field and get started on building something that could sustainably create impact over a long period of time. Ever since then, I have to say everything sort of fell into the right places. For example, I was staying in a dorm on campus, and it turns out the housemaster, or now called the faculty dean, on my dorm had been running an organization for the past 25 years in Uganda, and she turned out to be a great mentor who taught us, you know, A to Z about running an organization and business in the country. Uganda is a country where 30% of population still today lack access to clean drinking water, and about 60% still boil their drinking water. I wanted to contribute to creating a change, a positive one, and, you know, be a leader in making that change. Ever since I joined Spouts, I think I've been just mostly having fun. Just having fun.
That's great.
Yeah, trying to make some change and create some impact.
Kathy, let's switch over to you. So John told a little bit about your backstory there. Fill us in. What goes in the blanks? How did you end up getting involved with this?
I mean, as John said, I had a background in public health, engineering, biology, and it all came together when I traveled to Uganda and kind of saw the same problems that people were facing elsewhere. I'd done projects in the Dominican Republic in water-related projects, so it just made sense. And Uganda has a longstanding tradition of storing water in clay jugs, and there's nothing like local production happening in Uganda. I kind of ended up becoming a reluctant social entrepreneur, and what I mean by that is I went back to school in 2010 and started working on a design project, and I thought that these filters would be a great fit for the community. I didn't really imagine that we would do the manufacturing ourselves, so I took this idea, and with a bunch of other students, we emailed a ton of organizations already on the ground, and all of them told us no. Local production, you know, we won't do any production, we'll do distribution, but production is not our thing. And so John and I somehow ended up kind of creating a business without really having the original intention. We thought that it was a great idea, and if no one else was going to take up on it, then we would do it ourselves.
Here's what I really find fascinating in this story. You came back from Uganda with your eyes on fire enough that you were able to transmit that excitement to John. What was it about that moment that you think that you had enough of that spirit, that whatever that you had brought back with you from the ground, and when you came back to school, you were able to transmit that? So what do you think that was about?
Well, I think it was mostly just the fact that I wouldn't shut up about it. So I sit in the dining hall, and it's all I would talk about. And at one point, somebody just turned to me, and he was one of the resident tutors there, and he just said, "Kathy, just go for it." And I said, "What are you talking about?" Like, and he's just like, "Well, if you're not going to stop talking about it, you should go for it." And so I think it was just that we would meet. We would just meet during lunch periods, or, you know, in the evenings after all of our schoolwork was done, and just talk about things like this. So it wasn't really anything special. It just kept the ball rolling.
The thing that really pulled me into Spouts originally was how well Kathy's like groundwork for the organization had been laid out. You know, she mentioned she took a design class at Harvard, and the results, like deliverables she got at the end of the course were a business plan and probably a PowerPoint presentation on, you know, the feasibility and potential of this project. And I decided to join Spouts even before I met Kathy. You know, I had come across the business plan and the presentation on this project, and I was thoroughly impressed. I was asking myself, why the heck wouldn't anyone want to make this happen on the ground? It seems like the project is definitely possible in so many ways. And when I met Kathy, my belief in this organization and in this project became even more clearer.
Aw, shucks.
But it wasn't just about, blind passion that initially pulled me into the organization. There was, really cold-headed, very thorough groundwork that was laid before the project really, started gaining some traction.
When you talked about design, are you talking about the device design? Are you talking about the business model design? Are you talking about the what Stanford would call design thinking, the human-centric design? How do you think about design?
Well, it's kind of a combination of everything. The product itself has been used for decades across different countries, but the thing about it is if it was that easy to implement, then you would find this project being carried out everywhere. But there does need to be some tailoring for whatever country or whatever region you're planning on working on. And that applies to not only how to manufacture the product, but how to market the product, everything from start to finish. And so that's what I was really working on. And I mean, the actual device, I was able to reach out to different professors who had worked on similar projects and kind of get a good feel for how I was going to manufacture it in Uganda. But everything from who we were going to initially sell to, if we can run a business in Uganda as a foreigner, all these things required a lot of research beforehand. And of course, all of this changed once we got onto the ground as well, because everything you study in sitting in front of a computer is going to be drastically different from everything that happens on the ground here.
Yeah, that's a quotable quote right there. Kathy, you just mentioned that there are other organizations who have worked on similar projects. So we had Jim Smith from the University of Virginia on here. He's with two organizations, Pure Matty and Matty Drop, and they're doing similar operations in South Africa to what you're doing. And I know at least a half dozen organizations who have worked on the ceramic pots with the silver nitrate. So how do you collaborate with them? How do you reach out? What have you done around lessons learned from others and how you collaborate with each other?
So the ceramic water filter community is actually very tight-knit. We have a Google kind of group. Whenever something comes up, we all email each other to see what's up and keep each other updated. That being said, there's kind of sometimes quite a big disconnect. Just because people are busy doing their different things. So John and I have actually taken the time to visit quite a number of these factories. Between the two of us, I think we visited 5 factories so far. And it's always interesting to see how people are innovating in their corner of the world, whether it is on the distribution side or on the manufacturing side. And so we get a lot of help and helpful tips from here and there. But like I said, once you get into a country, I think I've come to realize how different the businesses tend to run, even between Ghana here, Cambodia, Laos, wherever you are. Even something simple as what color of the bucket we're using and why we're using that bucket is very different.
Is it going to continue to be funded through foundations and through philanthropy, or is it going to be funded through, self-sustaining, profitable growth? There's no wrong decision here. It's just, how do you see the future?
I think a social business has to be profitable, or at least be well on its path to profitability. As we scale up, I do believe that, our product is market competitive enough and it's profitable enough, in terms of our margins, that we will definitely be profitable in the end eventually. This is a line that I, say quite often at a conference, at a workshop, at a seminar. A good heart can last for so long, but a good company can last for decades. Kathy and I have seen, many people come and go. However well-intentioned you are, how good of a person you are, how good of a heart you have, you can't work on a cause, you can't work on a project that doesn't compensate you or satiate your, self-interest enough. And in most of cases, financial, economical incentives are critical in sustaining your organization or your heart. That's why I think Spout has a bright future.
For aspiring or early stage social entrepreneurs, somebody who's just starting on this journey, what's one lesson learned that you'd like to pass along to someone who's following in your footsteps?
I think you really need to be on the ground to do anything, especially for us. As I said, I mean, John and I have been thinking about this since 2011, and until we got to the ground, we were always on the ground every 6 months at least. But until you know your consumers, your customers, well, it doesn't really matter. And we've seen people with great products fail because they don't understand their customers as well. And that's always frustrating. So we've been really working hard to kind of understand how to best sell our filters that we believe is great, but other people might not. And so I think for anyone who's product-based, that's always important, whether you're a social entrepreneur or not. I guess the second advice would be to kind of not take no for an answer. What John and I have realized is that in Uganda, we come across so many roadblocks where most of the time I would say the answer is no. And we just kind of relied on each other to make sure that when one person is down and is constantly facing a no, the other person makes sure that they get back up and to make that into a yes. But to make sure that you don't take that first no is critical in making sure you sustain your business.
Can you tell me about a time that you turned a no into a yes?
I guess we cheated a little bit, but it's when these organizations tell us, well, initially organizations told us no for the manufacturing, and that's why Spouts came to be. We took that no and said, if you're not going to do it, then we'll do it. Once we got on the ground, a ton of organizations, there are a ton of large bureaucratic machines here where you reach out to one person and they say, well, I'll think about it, but it's really not their responsibility. So they'll forward your email to another person and you're stuck in this loop of 40 email threads. What we've ended up doing is just to show up, cold call organizations and show up to a large organization like Save the Children or BRAC or one of these large NGOs and just sit in the reception area and say, can we please talk to our country director? And we'll just, I mean, I think the longest is probably I've gone back an entire week just to see one person. And because in Uganda, that face-to-face meeting is so important, that's a really critical part of getting that initial contact in. But if you wait, if somebody says no and you turn around, you're never going to be able to meet that person. You're going to wait until that person is leaving for lunch and shove a business card to their face if that's how it needs to be. But that's kind of a tactic we've had to rely on early on. And now we have enough people know our name, and we don't do that as often now. But definitely initially, we were just two kids walking around in dirty T-shirts with the filter. No one knew who we were, and so that's kind of what we did initially.
That is a great, great example right there. John, people will be looking after this episode. They're going to be looking for Spouts of Water online or on social media. Where would you direct them?
Spoutsofwater.org. But for the latest and casual updates from our site, the listeners can go visit facebook.com/spoutsofwater.
So people have been hanging out with us for like the last half hour or so. What's one thing you'd love for them to go and do as a result of having heard this conversation?
One motivation, source that I, often rely on for the work, Kathy and I have been doing is looking at the world and realizing how unfair it is for somebody to be so well off when, many others are so poor. And, the more you think about how that came to be, you realize that the most fundamental root cause of all this inequality can be attributed to sheer luck. I was lucky enough to have a loving family, go to a in a very prestigious school in the States, and then decide what I wanted to do with my life, you know, which ended up being Spouts. But for some others, you know, that may not be the case. And probably one of the best way to realize that is probably go abroad and spend, you know, some time, not just doing the tourist stuff, but, you know, live in a, you know, underdeveloped, pretty remote village in developing country. When we first started out Spouts in, you know, 2011 and 2012, we initially based our operations in eastern side of the country called Kumi. It's a really small, you know, trading center along the main road. And, you know, I got to spend, you know, months at a time in a very remote area of a developing country. And I remember asking myself multiple times what kind of life I would have led if I were to be born as a child in this very community I was spending time on. And if I was a boy growing up in Kumi, Uganda, like 20 years ago, I would probably, you know, dream to become a farmer one day. And that just, you know, made me realize how fortunate and lucky I have been my whole life. Whatever achievements I've made in the past have been, or can be probably most chiefly attributed to, you know, the luck I didn't deserve in the first place. You know, my advice would be to, you know, go out, explore the world and, you know, see, you know, remote corners of the world and really realize that you are just lucky to have what you have.
Yeah, the opportunity is greatly related to the lottery of geography, right? Mm-hmm. Kathy, any last thoughts from you before we go?
Well, for the call to action, I'm going to be a little bit more selfish here and say Spots is growing very quickly. So for any listeners out there who might not necessarily want to start their own thing but are still interested in the space or are interested in what we're doing, I would highly encourage them to reach out to us and see how we can work together to see
very good.
How they can help us grow.
Very good. So thanks to both of you for being with us today on Social Entrepreneur.
Thank you for having us here today.
Thank you, Tony.
And thanks to you, the listener, for joining us today. You are the reason that we produce Social Entrepreneur every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. If you'd like the show notes for today, head over to tonyloyd.com/143. That's tonyloyd.com/143. Well, listen, thanks so much for joining us today. And until next time, please remember to use this one short, amazing life and go make an impact. Thanks. We'll talk to you next time on Social Entrepreneur.